Reach Radio on a big local news morning, well, national news morning, with Dr. Arguline came on this morning and explained COVID to us and where we're headed with that, and take the information as you may. That's what we're here for, an education information station. And of course, starting the morning with Mayor Scott Schertzer with an interview I taped last night. I thank him for coming in, after 7 o'clock, almost 8 o'clock last night, to tape that interview on a very big story developing here in Marion at this particular point. Glenn Coble joins me in studio for the next 2 hours, and we're going to go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Gee, I missed it. So what was the big story that our wonderful mayor was on?
Well, the big story this morning was that yesterday the mayor was on with me for his normal monthly visit, and he said that the state auditors were in town and that they wanted to meet with him yesterday afternoon, and he was not sure what that was about. So he met with them yesterday afternoon and came on and told us essentially that they told him that there is no evidence that the books in Marion have been reconciled since 2020, the beginning of 2020. So a year and a half now, they have not been reconciled, and that Marion applies for a grant for in the neighborhood of $2.5 million on September 30th, I think is the deadline for this. Now, this employs funds, some of the police, some of the fire, the senior center, and Marion Area Transit. And they need those books to be done to apply for those grants. And right now, the city auditor, Landon, is out with COVID. So this is where we are, and the mayor is not pleased with this development, had no idea it was going on, and doesn't want to lose this $2.5 million, and he feels at this point, I think what he said this morning was that if this should happen, that this $2.5 million should go away, that the auditor needs to resign.
Jeez. Personally, you know, I think the mayor should resign a week ago yesterday after spending over a year of my life doing a documentary about the effects of COVID-19 on Marion County. Many weeks I'd been waiting to get access to the wastewater treatment plant, and finally it came about, and that would have been on, I believe, what, a week ago yesterday would have been the 17th, to go out to the wastewater treatment plant and get some footage and interview Jim Bischoff, because the COVID-19 trail from Marion Correctional in the water system led us to the wastewater treatment plant. So I'm out there, and there's a document that the city engineer said I needed to sign, a release form. Well, for over a year, I've had a release form that has been accepted by the scrutiny of Ohio Health, and they have no problem with my release form. But the document that I asked Bischoff, where did this document, this release form, come from? And he said it came from the mayor and Randy Carrier, the safety director. And it was interesting because the document was on a blank sheet, a sheet of paper without the city letterhead. There was no signature sign for the mayor, no signature sign for the safety director. Now, the first paragraph of the document, no problem with it. It was essentially release of liability because of the construction going on. Pretty much a standard thing. But in essence, the second paragraph, any all materials, photos, videos on this visit or any other visits, the footages, etc., will become the sole property of the city of Marion. Now, I have a client that's making this documentary possible. This is the most ludicrous thing I have ever seen in my life. And I suggested that Bischoff tell the mayor and Randy Carrier, hey, you know, stop practicing law. So I'm talking with my client about the experience, which, by the way, Jim Bischoff was quite cordial. He suggested, well, since we're out here, let's get the aerial images and we'll work on getting the interview and that, which is kind of interesting because the way they test the water, they have a robotic arm that dips in and samples and captures the samples of the water to send down to the EPA, which I think would be very interesting because that's something that the general public, the taxpayers, don't get to see. Well, at any rate, I call my client, and we're talking. I tell him what had occurred, and he said, hold on a minute. The mayor's calling me. So I hang up, wait for a return call. I receive the return call from the client, and he said, well, the mayor just called. There's not going to be any interview. Nothing at all for the documentary, and I'm banned from the wastewater treatment plant. Now, I don't understand the rationale behind this.
How did the mayor know you were there?
Well, he set the whole thing up. He set it up. I had to wait. Apparently someone died out there, and there was a hierarchy or who's in charge or whatever. So after many months and weeks, it was okayed to go out there. And at any rate, the city has spent so much money to bring business and industry into town. I think the city's portion for CANDU is like $60,000 a year, matches the county, I believe. But here is something that can illustrate the Herculean efforts of Marion City, Marion County, in combating COVID-19. And should this documentary meet my expectations, I plan on entering it in film festivals across the country. And here, this would illustrate a positive light on Marion, that how Marion adapted, improvised, and overcame this pandemic. And for whatever childish reasoning, now that story will not come to light because of whatever the reason is, the mayor doesn't want me out there, doesn't want to let Jim Bischoff give an interview. You know, that's a sad, sad commentary. He spoke about leadership and knowing what your people running for office are doing. Well, I think the citizens, the taxpayers of our community need to know the childish antics that this person is doing when this documentary is to illustrate all of the positives, how Marion is dealing with COVID-19. And there's some really, really great stories, people sacrificing to make sure that people in our community are safe. And some of these stories have been quelled by some of these people who need to get their feelings of importance. And it's a dirty, rotten shame.
Now, who's funding the documentary?
This documentary has been funded by the Bicentennial 2020 Steering Committee, which is a group of organizations. Marion County Historical Society, Tri Rivers, I forget who all, but there's a group of people that originally, had we not been visited by COVID-19, there would have been various presentations about agriculture, industry, and everything, the histories throughout all of 2020. And since COVID-19 came into play, they decided, gee, maybe we should do a documentary. We can document this. Thoughts originally were to have it in a time capsule. But I think it would be a very good educational as well as document so that future generations can see how Marion County dealt with this.
So there was no reason why the mayor did not want you to get an interview with this Bischoff?
Not to my knowledge, I haven't. I mean, one has to ask the question, why would the mayor not want one of his people to talk about their role in fighting COVID-19?
Now, did Bischoff call him to ask him?
Bischoff told me that he was going to give Mark Russell a call, see if he could figure out something to do. I would imagine that Bischoff talked with the mayor after I left, because, again, when I was talking with the client, he said the mayor was calling, and then he relayed the message to me that there would be no interview at the wastewater treatment plant and that I was not allowed on the property. So that's all I know.
So that it's came really, from who? Who said that?
The mayor said that.
Right, but who, the relay, because the mayor didn't talk to you. Who did that come through?
That came through my client.
No, so he called the mayor, or the mayor called him?
No, the mayor called him. I would imagine that Bischoff informed the mayor, me laughing at this document that he and Randy Carrier had put together, which essentially, you know, if you're out and somebody's hired you to do a job, and then they expect you to sign over all rights and everything in perpetuity, you know, it's kind of a, why would you do that? Because you're already been hired by someone to do a job, and then someone else is usurping all of that stuff. It just, it's idiotic is what it is.
Well, I guess there we are on that one. Well, hey, thanks for giving us a call.
Well, you know, to all your listeners, there are some people that are not in the spotlight in our community doing such wonderful things. And a lot of the not ready for primetime politicians are keeping them in the shadows. But there is hope. There are some damn good people, and we should be thankful that they are in our community.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, Glenn Coble, you've been sitting here nice, quiet, and patient. What do you think? This is a talk show.
Well, I'm not sure what to think. I'd like to hear what the mayor says about that response. I think when I was running for office, my opinion was all politicians should be as open as absolutely possible. And that doesn't sound very open. I don't think calling people names though is going to help your situation. And I think Terry was kind of calling some people some names, but I understand his frustration. I think, you know, sometime when you have the mayor on, you ought to ask him about that, because that would be an interesting question.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm sure the mayor, we don't pre-screen the questions we have for him, so there you go.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, Glenn, without recapping it in whole, what do you make of the news of the morning locally about the city auditor, the mayor, and the big meeting that went down yesterday with the state auditors?
It's terrible to say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It does not surprise me.
Which aspect?
That we have corruption in government. I think our corruption in government, I think we've got to get back to a situation where government is more for the people rather than for the politicians. And right now, it seems to me we have an awful lot of politicians making an awful lot of money and other things out of the situation.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Chip. How you doing?
Good.
What's new with you?
Not good.
How's work?
Good.
Big remodel going out there at Kroger South.
Yeah.
You enjoying that?
Yeah.
Good. You staying safe?
Yeah.
Good. Anything new?
I mean, watch the Fox News yesterday.
Oh, you watch Fox News? What were they saying, Chip?
The ISIS attacked U.S. again.
Oh, the ISIS was attacking people?
Not yet.
Oh, they're not yet attacking people?
No.
Oh, they're a threat, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep an eye out there, Chip. Anything else new with you?
No. You don't play no Rat Baker yet.
I'm working on it, Chip. I am working.
Yeah.
How's it feel to be 40?
Good. You watch the baseball? You watch the card game?
I did. The Cubs aren't doing as great as they once were.
Indians no
play,
no good too.
No, it's a shame.
Yeah.
Your favorite team, the Indians? Or I guess they're not the Indians anymore. What are they now?
No.
Guardians, the Guardians.
Yeah.
Well, Chip, it's always good to hear your voice. You call in anytime.
You talking to Jeff Lewis too?
You know, I just saw him a few minutes ago, but yeah, he's doing okay.
Let me see him yesterday.
Oh, what? Did you have a nice conversation with him?
Yeah.
Did he have anything interesting to say?
It was no good. High school football is not on AM 1490 no more.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. He has left that position.
Yeah.
You'll have to listen here on Friday nights, Chip.
Yeah.
Hey, good to talk with you.
Okay, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Chip.
The one and only Chip, celebrity out at Kroger South, big, well-known person here in Marion. As a matter of fact, a police dog is named after our friend Chip.
When you're feeling down or you're feeling disgusted with government politics and Chip calls in, everything gets better.
The world stops. We stop, and we will always stop for Chip. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I want to come back to what you were saying there. And by the way, phone lines are open if you have any opinions or comments. 740-383-9944. I'm not sure if this is corruption, what's going on with the auditor.
And that's too harsh a word, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the auditor. I don't see corruption. Confusion is what I see now, but I'm not sure where it is. I don't know. I just don't know, because we haven't heard from the auditor. I would like to hear from the auditor.
Yeah, it would be very helpful. And you say that he does have COVID now?
Has been said, yeah.
So it's highly unlikely that we will hear much from him. He may make a statement, but you're not going to get to talk to him.
Well, I hope he's well.
Yeah.
I mean, we send our well wishes to anybody who has COVID right now, including the auditor.
Yeah, there are a lot of people in this world that I'm not real fond of, but I don't wish any of them COVID.
Yeah. So, again, if you have anything to say about that, or Dr. Art Uhlin talking about COVID itself this morning.
Wow, was he good this morning.
Well, and that's an interview that has no state, country, city...
politics.
It's not for a specific area. It's for your life.
Right.
That's a life. It's kind of like Heloise.
Yeah.
The Heloise of doctors. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any questions or comments, give us a buzz.
I didn't realize he was 85.
85, doing good. Yeah. He's always...
Sounds great.
Gets up at 6 a.m.
Yikes.
That's him at 6 a.m. giving us that information. Now, I hate to get into this. It's becoming a regular... No, I do, because I always have to remember for a week what was said to bring this up again. And I don't know. I want to try, because I want to end it this week. I really do.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Okay, a few weeks ago, I just made the offhanded comment, because we were talking about presidents. It really was an offhanded comment at that time that I feel that John Adams, being a founding father of this country, is overlooked, being smashed in between Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, because George Washington was the commander of the Revolutionary Army and the first president, and Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, and I feel Thomas Jefferson clearly is not seen as important as they are, and I...
You mean Adams?
What did I say?
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, yeah. Adams is not seen as important as Jefferson. And that's all I meant. And I gave some reasons for this.
Well, you were a little stronger than that, I thought. A little stronger.
Well, tell me. Maybe I was. I can't remember back that far now.
I felt that you were a little defensive for Adams.
Well, I am. I am because, again, my 2 points, which I've yet... Here's what happened, and I'll get back to these 2 points. So that day, Dr. Feinman, who I have known for a long time, his first appearance on this station was on my show so many years ago. I have no beef with Dr.
And
Feinman.
And he tells me about that every week.
Yeah, and I have no beef with Dr. Feinman, but I think he's got a bone to pick with John Adams, so he comes on every week now at the top of your show, which is kind of entertaining.
It's only been 2 weeks.
It's a hook. So he comes on and tells me why I'm wrong and while I'm in the car. Now, listening, and last week, Terry and I were both listening to this. Now, here's what's wrong. Now, here's all I'm saying, and I don't know why this is getting overlooked. Adams was the only president of that time, not founding father, but the only president of that time, of the founding fathers, who did not own slaves.
Right.
I think that's big.
Yeah.
Now, number two, he is the one who really pushed for Washington to be the Revolutionary War commander. Washington didn't even want to do it. Washington went to that meeting basically saying, I really haven't done this. I don't think I'm the guy. Adams pushed for him harder than anybody else. So, no John Adams, no George Washington. Maybe no United States of America. Then, on top of that, he is the one who single-handedly, period, told them, if you need somebody to write the Declaration of Independence, if you need, which is what, that's our term now, but what it was a Declaration of Independence from England. Mm-hmm. He said, you want somebody to write this, Thomas Jefferson's your guy. And to me, that takes great humility
and
on his part.
He looks really good in tights and dances.
Exactly right. So he again, so you don't have John Adams, very, very possibly you don't have the Declaration of Independence, and you don't have Thomas Jefferson.
I think you're going to have a Declaration of Independence, whether it's Jefferson or not. It may not have been as good as the one
right.
that we got.
Well, that's it. But maybe not. But you wouldn't have a Jefferson, who we hold in high regard. So that's my 3 points as to why John Adams is important. Now, what I keep hearing from Dr.
I don't think Dr. Feinman says he's not important.
No, but the things I keep hearing. Now, first of all, I do have to correct myself in some. I said John Adams wrote a diary. Now, he jumped on me about that last
week. Yeah, he did.
Now, I was wrong.
It was his dad, wasn't it?
Quincy Adams, his son, wrote
his son
a diary.
Yeah.
But what I meant to say, I did say this wrong. He kept his letters.
Oh.
Thomas Jefferson burned his letters.
Really?
Or somebody burned them for him. We don't really know who burned them. But we have no correspondences continual from Thomas Jefferson. We have all the correspondences of John Adams with Thomas Jefferson because Adams kept them. So that gives, we know exactly what Adams was thinking, feeling about everything because of those letters. We don't have that with Washington and Jefferson to a great degree, not to the degree that we have Adams. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, one reason he gets smashed, because we know exactly how he felt about things. So that's number one. Number two, this point has been brought up for 2 weeks now about him and civil liberties, about putting journalists in jail or bringing lawsuits against journalists, that this was awful and this was terrible. I am a journalist. No, it was not the right thing to do. Absolutely not. But he didn't own anybody. Now, how do people feel about Jefferson and Washington's civil liberties about the slaves that they owned? They owned people. Now, would you rather be owned or put in jail?
I think that Dr. Feinman did agree with you on that, that Adams should be lauded because he didn't own
them. Right, but how can you say that he was not great, that he has this great smirch of civil liberties because he put journalists, and how many journalists were really in jail here, and how long were they in jail?
I'd like to know both of those.
Very questions. Short.
And if I remember, I will ask Dr. Feinman that.
Yeah, do that. But Which would you rather be, Glenn? Would you rather be a journalist who was tried and thrown in jail for a while or owned your entire life?
That doesn't take very much thought,
right,
does it?
So, but I mean, seriously, civil liberties, that's what we're going to hit John Adams with. Well, let's talk about the civil liberties of what Washington and Jefferson, and by the way, most other people of that time were doing.
Yeah, there were civil liberties were for white people only and white men only at that time.
And do you really believe Adams, a man who really did see the problem with slavery, put people in jail because, oh, I just don't like journalists? I believe Adams was a hothead.
We know this. I really believe that's a large affront to our civil liberties to put writers and journalists in jail.
Oh, not right. I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is, do you think Adams did it because he believed civil liberty? This is a man who ate and died and breathed the Constitution.
Then I think he was being...
I think he was hot-headed.
Well, yeah, but he was being... not true to his own cause, which is going to cause him problems, much like current politicians when they come out and say, I'm for this and I'm for that, and then show that they really haven't given that much thought. And I think there's enough blame to go around here.
But you also got to remember, the press of that time is press that owned slaves.
Yeah.
Press that...
Well, maybe. I don't know. Judging from what the press gets paid right now, I'm not sure they could have afforded a
Well,
slave.
They were not... there was a little different scale of press in those days. Again, not that they should have been put in jail, but I believe there was that Benjamin Franklin's grandson was tried or thrown in jail, and that may be right, what Dr. Feynman was saying. But again... Adams was a hothead. It doesn't make it right, but in the grand scheme of things, Wilson imprisoned Du Bois? I believe, and Harding freed him, a Republican. So, you know, at some point, we've got to get, and I may be wrong, I am not a historian, but I'm just saying, and people know what I'm saying when I'm talking about this. Now, the other thing about this, to wrap this, tie a knot in this.
I have to disagree with you on that. I don't know what you're talking about.
But there was a famous person that Harding freed that Wilson had imprisoned for his political, for his beliefs on World War I. Now, I think it was Du Bois, but if I'm wrong about that, I'm letting you know up front.
Well, we've actually killed people because they were communists, so I think we have to not speak out of both sides of our mouths about... I don't think you have any right to put somebody else in jail. Even the stupid people that are that attack the Capitol building, I think you've got to be careful about how you prosecute them and make sure that they're being prosecuted because of things that they did, not their beliefs.
Well, and the other thing I did not, and I'm really confused about this one, and I did quote the ages where how old Thomas Jefferson was when he died, and I believe there was another founding father president who lived longer than Adams, not age-wise, but just was alive when they died. Mm-hmm. I'm lost on the importance of their age.
I don't think it's important at all.
No, so I was confused on that. Well, I did misstate their age, I guess, but I don't know what that has to do with Adams being a good president.
Like I said earlier, a lot of people like to argue by pointing out things that you might have said that were in error, implying that everything else you said was in error. And, you know, that's just a style of argument, and I don't like that style of argument, but we do it a lot.
Well, but so I do want to have, because I think John Adams does need to be brought out of the darkness, because the bottom line, forget the ages, forget the letters, forget civil liberties, forget who owned slaves and who didn't. If for nothing else, he was the one who... with other people, but he was the leader of the pack who said Washington needs to be the leader. And Washington didn't even feel he should be the leader. And again, Adams was the one who single-handedly said Jefferson needs to write the Declaration of Independence. Without the Revolutionary War, without the Declaration of Independence, we don't have a lot of what this country, over 200 years later, is talking about. So I don't know how, if he wasn't the... To me, I see him as the architect of this country. People think Jefferson was, because he wrote the Declaration of Independence, and he was the architect of what our government and belief system became, but had there not been John Adams, there wouldn't have been that. Jefferson, my understanding, was a very private, kind of aloof man.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I've been told that. I wasn't around. I know I look like I'm that old, but I wasn't.
But John Adams was a pop-off. And I think he made sure his voice was heard.
What's a pop-off?
Sounds loudmouth.
Like
he was a loudmouth. He wasn't a
Russian.
He never led Russia. But if he had, he'd have put those journalists in prison. He'd have put those journalists in prison. There'd have been no doubt about that.
Well, I think it's interesting to have this discussion, because it's not an area that I know much about. It's just not something that's ever interested me. But I do enjoy listening to you and Dr. Feynman explain things, and I'm getting a lot smarter by listening.
Well, I mean, after learning this about John Adams, I mean, what's your feeling about the man? He really is a forgotten president. He's not on any money. We don't really discuss him on President's Day, and he's number two.
I've always held all of our presidents, especially in that era, with esteem, and he was one of them that I held with esteem, just because they must have had to work so hard to get things to work out. I know that Washington wasn't the greatest general in the world at times. He darn near got it lambasted a few times, but they worked hard and they forced this democracy into being, and that doesn't sound very nice, but I think that's true. I think they had to work harder than most people would have worked just to make a democracy out of the United States.
Well, and the other part of this, and we'll finish out the hour with this before we go on to new business next hour, since we've only got 10 minutes left, but the other part of this is that if we're going to hold Adams to this civil liberties, because that's the only criticism I'm really hearing about him, is this journalism thing. Put journalists in prison.
That, and he was kind of rude.
And he was kind of rude, which I agree with. Okay. Jefferson had an affair with someone he owned, which produced children. Now, what would we call that in today's society?
Well, it used to be against the law because she was African-American.
So you got
that. White.
And we don't know if she did it willingly.
Yes,
truthfully, we don't.
And well, there's a lot about all of this that we don't really know.
Right, so that's why I say we're holding John Adams. It's weird that we're holding John Adams to a standard of today in journalism, but we're not holding Washington and Jefferson to the same standard of what today would have been.
Yeah, but I think there probably was a standard back then. There were two standards. One standard said you shouldn't imprison press people. I'm pretty sure that was probably a standard. And the second standard was you can have slaves. That's part of the deal. Not that it was good, and I don't understand how in the world we justified that in our heads, that owning somebody else, even to the point when finally we did free them, but we said they were only 3/5 of a person.
But my point, I guess, is what you just said is very true. But my point is, Adams got that we shouldn't own slaves through his writings and through in that era. Washington and Jefferson didn't get it.
See, you're catching me in my ignorance. I've never read anything where Adams said it was wrong to have slaves.
Well, he didn't do it, and he certainly had the money too.
Okay, but did he have a need to? A lot of the slave owners were they did it because they thought they needed to have slaves to, you know, work the cotton fields, work the, you know, well, do all the manual labor.
Is that,
that we now allow Hispanics to do and we criticize them?
Right, but I mean, do we just say that it was just luck that John Adams didn't have them? He just didn't have the need. I don't think that was it.
I don't know. Yeah.
I would say no. He was a president of the United States after George Washington. He was a founding father.
Well, a lot of people must have liked him because he did become president of the United States.
Well, he did, and he was very out there in that time. He was very amenable to people. So if slaves was a sign of something, which we know it was, stature, he certainly would have had them. Clearly. And I think if you do read his writings and you do understand a little bit of him, he just did not feel the same way about it that Jefferson and Washington did.
I don't think there were too many people. I wouldn't, can't imagine that people bought slaves for significance. They bought slaves for a need that they perceived.
I think Adams intrinsically had a problem with owning other people.
Well, I hope he did. Yeah. But I don't know. But
Washington and Jefferson did not.
And I find that very disappointing.
It is.
Yeah.
And here comes a call. Let's go. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering, was he more of an urbanite versus an agrarian?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know
the answer to that.
Which number president was he?
Two.
And he didn't have any slaves?
No.
I mean, it'd be interesting to find out what his livelihood was.
That was kind of my point, too.
It would seem as though he was in some sort of business that didn't need them, so he wasn't a slave owner. I mean, perhaps, what was the time frame that he was president?
I believe 1700s.
1780-something, wouldn't it be? No, it would have been 1790.
No, it would have been 1800s.
Yeah, it would have flipped over, probably, to the 1800s.
No, it could have been whatever his business was, that he just didn't have the need for them, a lot of big landowners.
Here it is. John Adams wrote about this. And this is what John Adams' quote is on slavery. He said, "My opinion against it has always been known," noting that he has always employed freemen both as, laborers.
Glasses.
Yeah, laborers. I need glasses to... That he's always employed freemen as laborers, and never in my life did I own a slave.
Yeah, okay. Then he was opposed to it. But he may not, like the caller's saying, he may not have needed them as much as, let's say, a plantation owner would. But I don't think that makes it right.
And of the first 12 presidents, only two never owned slaves.
Who was the other one?
John Adams and John Quincy Adams. His son.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting.
So, and what was... Does it give any information? What kind of business was he in?
And by the way, just to point this out, the first, John Adams, famously said that of the American Revolution would not be complete until all slaves were free.
Oh, cool.
Now, think that's his thinking in the 1700s. Now, this man did not feel George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. It had nothing to do with his job.
Yeah, interesting. Glad you read that.
Hey, is Fred Malone listening? Hey Fred.
Fred probably
call
is.
Call in and give us some tidbits on this.
He probably is listening.
Hey, a real quick side note. Either Scott or Glenn, if you would be so kind as to have RAM, Residential Home Assistance Marion, on, they are really in need of people to be group home leaders. They are kind of at their wit's end, and I think that...
What's the organization again, Jerry?
RAM.
Oh, RAM, yeah. Okay.
A-M, yeah. And, I don't think a lot of people really know what it is they do.
Right.
And it would be something, I think, quite enlightening, and maybe... there would be some people that would say, hey, I'd like to be a group home leader.
I'll make contact with.
We could
with
work
them.
Towards it. Yeah, please do. Yeah, just call up there and ask for HR. Her name is Dottie Bowes.
Okay.
Or Adam Ginther. But I think Dottie Bowes would be the contact person.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Good.
And by the way, just as we're clearing things up, because we do want to be educational on this station, John Adams was not the only one who threw journalists in prison. The act was called the Alien Enemies Act, and Congress passed that act that gave John Adams the power to do it. So if Congress passes it, I don't know if he was violating civil liberties. He was doing what the law was.
Okay.
So I think that's about what it is. You know, I think, and now he did call, I think what the point here was, well, I don't know, you just have to make, there's a lot to this. The criticism of the government is obviously what he did not like. So, there you go.
Yeah, but one of the cornerstones to our government is that you are allowed to criticize the government.
Right. And but I think that
sedition is another thing, but criticizing is
right. But there, the, but, okay. But Congress passed the law. John Adams wasn't just throwing people in jail.
Okay.
So I don't know if we can put that all on John Adams.
Okay.
And by the way, Thomas Jefferson, who was the vice president at that time, in 1799, I guess he called it the Reign of Witches.
The Reign of Witches?
Yeah.
What was the reign? I mean...
Well, here's what it says. It says the year was 1799 and the new nation was in the darkest days of what then Vice President Thomas Jefferson called the Reign of Witches. After narrowly defeating Jefferson in the first contested presidential election, John Adams and his fellow Federalists had exploited fears of war with France to crack down on the immigrants and journalists they saw as sympathetic to the Democratic Republican Party.
There's those damn...
Democrats again.
No, the immigrants. They'll do it to you every time.
Yeah, but was Thomas Jefferson really concerned about the imprisonment of journalists, or was he concerned about becoming the next president?
I don't know.
We don't know, but we'll find out after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Bloomingdale's department store, the salesman said, "You know, you look like the late Abe Vigoda." I said,